Drinkers, we are back and we are ready to talk about some more Lions preseason. There's a lot to talk about. The Lions' first preseason game just wrapped off a 27-23 loss to the pesky Atlanta Falcons. They're always pesky with the Lions, even in the preseason. But alas, the Lions lose. Kind of a heartbreaker if you're emotionally invested in that
game. Especially if you watch Hard Knocks.
No. I was happy we lost.
What?
Since 08, I don't ever want to see us go undefeated.
Yeah.
I thought I was happy until I watched Hard Knocks and they like turned it into this like super sad drama.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Watching Hard Knocks, they made it a preseason game, all this emotional, dramatic, like, and watching the game, it's like, who gives a shit? Who wins?
Right.
You know?
That's very
poor
true.
Blau.
So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that's here. We got almost all crew, but we got UJ.
Good evening.
Bob.
Top of the morning.
And then Rud Dog.
Hey, y'all.
All right, gentlemen. So we're here. We're probably going to react a lot to that first preseason game, maybe, and then some other things that we heard from training camp, just reacting to that. And also everything that happened on Hard Knocks, of course. Where do we want to start?
And today's joint practices with the Colts.
Yeah, they just started the joint practice with the Colts. I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit. Well, I guess let's start with that preseason game, though. I mean, there's a lot to take away from that. Where do you want to start? Either the game, or do you want to talk about what we had
first
before
drive.
The game with Jared Goff?
Jared Goff. That's my favorite story of this whole game. I think that's the best one to highlight.
You want to say a story in case people didn't hear?
Sure. So before the game, Jared wasn't scheduled to play. They were going to sit him and let Boyle start the game. And when Boyle, he was the only one that was going to be all ones except for him. And when he heard that, he went up to Dan Campbell and was like, I'm going to play. He's like, no, you're sitting out. He's like, no, my guys are in there. I'm going to play. He's like, all right, you're going to play. And then he went out there. He's like, yeah, we're going to, no worries. We're going to go down there, score a touchdown. No problem. And what did they do? Go down, score a touchdown on a super crisp drive. I mean, that's just like, that's how legends start, you know?
Was it like Rudy? Did they all throw their jerseys on the coach's desk? Like,
yeah. For preseason? I mean, yeah. Hard Knocks really is hamming it up. but I just like that attitude.
Yeah, that first drive was great. We got to see the offensive line, the projected starting five of the offensive line actually play together. A couple really nice throws to Amon-Ra St. Brown in that drive. Josh Reynolds. So,
right.
Yeah, really, and that line was dominant is what we were hoping for, and that's what they are. I mean, when they're together,
so,
looks exciting. Exciting.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, and I think I sent it to you guys. I got to look up the guy's name again. I always forget his name. He breaks down offensive line film a lot on Twitter, and he did, and he was breaking down the offensive line. @BaldyNFL. This guy,
Brian Baldinger.
Brian Baldinger. He works for Fox Sports and NFL Network. But
he used to be a great player for the Colts.
He breaks down offensive line film all the time. He kind of talks like this. But he's very popular on Twitter. Anyways, he was loving what the Lions offensive line was doing in this game, especially Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow. Frank Ragnow is just a beast. I mean, his ability to get outside of to be able to hook block, right? I'm trying to reach block. A guy that's pretty much like a whole gap over from him is just insane. And just that's the difference maker with a guy with him out there versus maybe like an Evan Brown per se.
Not only does he have the quicks to get the positioning, but then the strength to leverage and gain position. It's just incredible to see.
And who was all on the boat with him in the Hard Knocks?
I couldn't tell.
I didn't have time to pause and
it looked like one might be his brother or something. It wasn't a player.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell who the other guy
was. And was he doing that like before a camp? Was he on his day off? He's taking this tiny little rowboat on the choppy water. I was like, that's really the tiny boat to be on this. Like,
they're probably middle practice.
Bigger
like,
boat. I know.
Hard Knocks is like, we need Frank. We're going to take him fishing to get some shots.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought is, why can't he get a bigger boat? And those guys are
fishing
are so big. The front of the boat was kind of down in the water, you know, when he was standing on that end. Kind of dangerous.
Huh. And also on that first drive in the preseason with the offense, We also got to see DeAndre Swift and what makes him so special on that touchdown run. The play completely breaks down. I think Big V missed a block. It looked like the play was blown up, but then he just used his ability to get in the end zone just to make a quick cut and just take it up the sideline. I thought that was, you know, I hope he stays healthy. Yeah. I hope he stays
healthy. It was a nice showcase.
And in Hard Knocks, I love that Deuce Daly didn't even like get remotely excited because he was still pissed off about him not going inside on a previous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the more interesting thing, like just seeing how he came down on him there. He's like, that would have been a touchdown.
Get out of the game. Hey, sir, get back on. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Deuce Daly is getting a lot of time on Hard Knocks here. I wonder if that's on purpose, like Dan Campbell said, like, because. I mean, part of the reason Deuce Daly came to Lions is they're giving him every opportunity to kind of make that next step to be a head coach since he wasn't getting enough love on that front from the league, it seemed. They're giving him a lot of time at Hard Knocks to get his name
they
out.
They are.
There.
He's magnetic, though.
I love the storyline, too, with Swift because he's really pushing Swift to be his best, and he believes that he can be the best in the league. And he's just trying to get it out of him, and you could see like Swift's taking it in,
Absolutely.
So
I'm
excited to see what it does this year. The combination with that coach.
Yeah, I think if anyone can do it, it's Deuce. That dude looks like he could draw water from a stone with that stare. He's so damn intense.
he's intense.
Absolutely.
Just magnetic. I think he generates too many great moments, and that's where Hard Knocks is just going to be drawn to. I was listening to something else, and they were complaining about how Goff isn't an interesting enough person in the story, although they didn't cover the most interesting part of the preseason game with him, so maybe that'll come up later, but like how they want him to be more of a character, but he's just not that guy. Like he's more of like a low-key, like chill dude, not creating drama.
Well, wasn't on the first Hard Knocks, didn't he like he didn't know where the sun set?
He didn't know which direction the sun set and rise. That wasn't on the Lions one, it was on the Rams one.
Back in the
Not to confuse it with this one, but it was definitely something that got out there for a while.
He's blonde after all, I mean.
But great first drive by the offense. The defense, they gave up a touchdown right back, but I mean that the main thing about that drive was we got to see Hutchinson in action, and
yes.
As advertised.
Yeah.
Such a
exactly.
tease.
We said that at the same time, Bob.
Yeah, we did. Because that was exciting. He was in and he tackled for a loss, then he drew
the holding call.
Did you see that change of direction?
Yeah, he made a tackle.
That bootleg was ridiculous.
That's that three cone drill. That's that time, you know, that change of direction really quick. And the motor. Obviously, you have the athletic skills, but the motor to chase a guy down like that is... You know, not everybody does that.
But that's
why the Lions loved him. That's why a lot of people loved him. Because, I mean, he's already super athletic, but you mix in the fact that he has a high motor.
And even on that play where he drew the holding, he was fighting through the whole play. You know, he could have given up on the block. And he was fighting and he forced the penalty. So,
yeah. I don't know about his celebration Michael Jackson kick.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That's a good way to throw an MCL or something.
But I'll take it.
I mean, Bob, did he do that at Michigan?
No, I don't think that was like a regular thing.
Maybe he's just playing off the Billie Jean stuff from Hard Knocks or something.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
You know what I love about Hutch? He's just a dude. Like, he's out there like, he says he's just like, you know, like when he's like, I got to pee right now, like right before he's going out on the field or like. When, like, they're after they got done doing, like, the 40 up-downs, he's just like, do we know they're going to be doing that? All of them in a row? He's just like, you know, he shuts up and he absorbs things like a sponge when he needs to, but he's also just comfortable. And he's already a pro. Like, me and UJ were talking about this earlier. Like a lot of these wide-eyed kids on the team out there, like, reacting to this new environment with Dan Campbell's created. And, like, it's just like, you know, what would that be like? But, like, he doesn't look like a wide-eyed kid out there at all. He looks perfectly at home.
And, like, when Campbell took him aside and just told him how great he was doing and how he was showing it on the field, is that's how you lead, is by showing it on the field. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was.
Absolutely. Another guy that got a lot of love, and especially this last Hard Knocks episode, a guy we've mentioned a lot, but it's hard to ignore. Yeah, Rodrigo, Malcolm Rodriguez. Sixth round linebacker. I love that part in Hard Knocks where they're in the linebacker room and Kelvin Shepard's just calling out every other linebacker in the room saying you're not as a sixth round.
UJ didn't like that. UJ felt bad for the guys.
I had mixed emotions.
I've been in a room where that's like happened. It is awkward.
Oh yeah.
Well, I know. Well, you're shaming the other guys with a rookie, using the rookie as an example, and I don't know. You know, I don't know if that leaves a sour taste in their mouth.
It should.
It's not that Shepard's wrong. He's right.
Right.
These guys should be picking up their game,
but,
and they're not.
But here's the problem. It's not that this isn't Shepard creating this reality. The fact is that you have a rookie setting the standard in the linebacking room right now. And, you know, that can just be a credit. That's definitely a credit to Malcolm, but it's off also, like he said, it's a call to action because these guys are not playing to the level they need to. A rookie is surpassing them.
Right.
And
it's as exciting as Rodrigo is, and I'm excited to see him play and everything, it's kind of sad that he might be our starting linebacker.
Yeah.
The sixth round undersized guy.
Yeah.
Because of our linebacker room is so poor, you know? I don't think it's I mean, so hopefully he's all pro, but
you hope it's because he's just that good, though. I mean, that's the ideal. Like, Micah Parsons, you know, is going to win that position if he's, you know, but he was a higher pick. But this guy, just because he's lower, if he's just that good, that's not a bad thing necessarily.
Yeah.
But
I hope so. But I just think the linebacker room is pretty poor overall.
Yeah. And they have a lot to prove.
Agree.
A lot.
Agree. But man, I'll tell you, watching Rodrigo hit that hole, like take on the guard or whatever, just had a
and on the special teams.
When he threw that guard on the ground on his back, he just slammed him.
I know, Jesus.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of anything, sick. Man.
Awesome. Yeah, they met with force and the guard went backwards.
He's so damn strong. Awesome. Like that.
Of course they played that line again, too. You I love
when you're that strong.
Hit people.
Oh yeah, I love that line. When you're that strong though, you can make up for so much. He's got all the athletic tools to make up for that, like 1 inch less of than the average height of linebackers in the league or whatever he is.
I know. He's like my height, but he's super fast, which I never was.
Herculean strength.
Yeah, and the nice hit on special teams, too, to just throw that in there as well. I thought that was a lot of fun.
That was a nice hit on that kickoff.
Nice tempo.
So, I mean, as I mentioned, Amon-Ra, a couple nice catches in this one. Just continues to show that he's going to be a beast, I think, going forward, especially he's already established a great connection with Goff. But I just wanted to kind of piggyback off that. I loved bringing their dad into the Hard Knocks episode.
Oh, good.
Him and his brother working out, how they don't talk the whole time they work out.
Yeah, that was cool. He goes, you know why they tear Achilles? Have you ever do any calf raises or what? You know, like,
call out Kevin.
And Kevin Durant responded on Twitter today. He said,
did he?
Today, that's all he said. Like
Tariq Cohen should have trained
with
him.
As he did calf raises today, I think is what he was referencing.
Tariq Cohen should have trained with him. Did you guys see that video of him, by the way? Just a little sidebar.
Oh, yeah. That was a few months ago. But
was it that old? Oh, my God. Social media is so weird. Sometimes things seem like you think you're seeing something new, and it's like, that's old.
Hey, but the best part was Amon-Ra St. Brown named the 16 receivers who were drafted before him.
That was the best. Yeah.
In order, what colleges they went to, that takes it that personally that he had to wait that long to get drafted. And
got me so damn pumped watching that. That was the hook of the episode right there.
This guy caught 200 off the jugs machine, so my dad said we got to do 202.
Yeah. Did you like the part where his dad was in the stands?
That was my favorite part. I wanted
that
to
was great.
They're talking about the Hutchinsons, and they're like, no, they're rich. They're probably up in a skybox, you know? And then they cut to the Hutchinsons. They're in the skybox.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, he's like, we won't be sitting with them. Yeah.
That was exactly where... Man, Bob, you and I today are just... We're on the same wavelength.
Let's
get going to next.
I love that
part. It was hilarious.
That was funny.
It was hilarious. And he's got that weird... His brother Equemius is playing for the Bears, so he's got like a half and half jersey. He's got the half Bears, half Lions jersey. But the Lions are the front.
That's the only situation that's acceptable, I think. Like, I don't like people running around a Cubs Sox jersey or a Mets Yankees. Come on, you got to pick a side.
Yeah, wasn't Brady Quinn's sister dating AJ Hawks? It wasn't she dating like AJ Hawk, who played for the Ohio State? So she had like a half Notre Dame, half Ohio State jersey.
Oh yeah,
it was like
yeah.
So the other thing Hard Knocks focuses on a lot in this one, a lot of David Blau time in this Hard Knocks episode.
And poor guy.
Yeah.
All you got to do is hold nice on to the damn ball. Just literally.
I like when they showed the part with the Olympics, though, with his girlfriend.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was kind of cool. Where they're just cheering. That was cool. The team is all rooting for.
Did David Blau lose his job because of that fumble? Yes or no?
He might have, man.
No. No, because even with the fumble, I think he played better than.
I don't know, UJ. You brought up a point today that got me thinking. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. They might like that chemistry in that room too much, but I wouldn't be surprised if they carry only two running back or quarterbacks. And if they go out there and find someone, like there's some names I've been hearing thrown around to the Lions. I'm trying to remember who.
GK.
Mason Rudolph was Rudolph this week to be on the Lions radar.
That could be worth a lot to get an actual solid backup. I don't know.
What are you chanting, UJ?
TK. Tom Kennedy.
Oh.
Oh my God.
What does that do with the backup?
Stud.
I don't know.
Because he threw that
nothing.
Pass.
No, what I'm saying is, it'll free up a roster spot for another position, and our receiver room is so
loaded.
It's so deep right now. You know, it's going to be harder to keep some of these guys. Yeah. And
maybe Cephas needs it.
And I'm a big Kennedy fan, and I would love to see him make the squad.
Well, Tom Kennedy's leading the preseason right now in yards. So,
yeah,
the new Zach Zenner.
He's doing what he's got to do. I mean,
don't curse him with the Zach Zenner.
Man.
Zach Center made the roster, though. Guys, so that's not all that bad.
Never got a legit chance. Well, the one time.
We'll have him on the podcast one of these days.
Let's not go back
He's
there.
He's
Zenner
lovers.
Right now. Come on.
Ridiculous.
He's actually a nutritionist for like the NFL players now. He like consults on nutrition. Hmm. So Tom Kennedy, him and Blau look really good together out there. They definitely had a connection going. You can obviously tell they've had a lot of practice time together.
That alone might be worth having both of them on the roster as backup.
Yeah. Tim Boyle, though, had a nice touchdown pass to Funchess. Funchess is another guy I wanted to mention as well. I heard he
got hurt, too, today.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, did he?
Shoulder or something.
Upper
body.
He's
okay. He's putting in work, man.
I don't know. I mean, how many tight ends are they going to keep? Because Brock Wright's set.
I think at least
he's
three.
He's looking good.
Yeah.
Wright's looking good.
I mean,
probably three.
I would think three. The third one's the one I would wonder who would
probably keep the rookie, though, you know.
Who's that?
Mitchell. Mitchell, the rookie.
Oh, him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he'll be. Yeah. Is he practicing? I have not seen him at all.
He's practicing.
How's he been doing?
Hearing a lot about him, though. Not hearing a whole lot on him. But
he
is
might
practicing.
I don't know. But if he's not available to play by the season start, that might not be enough to keep him around. But he could be easy practice squad hide, though. No one's going to poach him.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you poach a guy from the practice squad, you got to put him on the active roster.
So. Right, and he'll have zero tape at that point in the league. So.
Right.
I don't tend to get poached. Plus, that'll probably be better for his career to get him going anyway, give him some time to develop.
Yeah, I did like the Tim Boyle pass to Khalif Raymond in this first preseason game, though. I didn't think they highlighted that. I thought that was a beautiful pass down the sideline to him. I don't think that guy
really shows his potential.
Well, that's the thing. As far as like physical skills, Tim Boyle's got it, man. That guy can throw a ball
absolutely.
Like nobody else.
Like raw output.
You know, it's the full package that's the problem.
Right.
Getting the whole thing together.
Like that pick he threw was so bad. And I'm not sure if it's decision making or just his inaccuracy, but man, I don't feel like he does not throw well on those like out routes. He puts it behind the receiver, tees up these picks too easy.
Yep. So back to the defense side of the ball, I do want to mention a guy that stood out to me a little bit too in this one. And apparently he's looked pretty good in practice. He ended the other practice with, I guess, a highlight reel interception. But Chase Lucas, I think, has shown some promise, too. So that's good.
He should have had that game winner pick in his hands.
Yeah.
He dropped it.
But it was a great break on the ball, though. Hey, you know, that's why you play defense. I mean, obviously, he's got to clean that up. But that's not the thing that has the coaches sitting there fretting that he dropped an interception. They're thinking that guy made a great break and read on the ball, and that's exciting for a rookie.
Yeah, for sure. And Kirby Joseph led the team in tackles for this game as well. So I just wanted
and
to know that.
Coach Campbell highlighted him in his press conference.
He did.
Too.
He did.
So there's some good things. Now let's just see when we have their actual first team defense out there for an entire game, how that all looks. My number one concern is still the linebacking core.
For sure.
Yeah. Like Bob said, if Malcolm Rodriguez is starting, that's maybe not a good thing necessarily.
Maybe, but it's not. But like the thing is, here's what I do like about our linebacking room. We might not have any like great all around linebackers. Like we might have like a bunch of deficient linebackers in certain areas, but there's a bunch of uniquely athletic and gifted linebackers in other ways that could be, if utilized well, could produce a potentially successful product. I mean, you got guys like Jared Davis who are big, real fast linebackers, Derek Barnes, you know, all these, they got some talent there. And if they can put these guys in the right position, I still think they can do a good job. You know, you don't overtax Jared or Davis with certain things, and you know how to put him in there at the right thing, and it sounds like he's having some success, so it is definitely a concern. I think there is still enough potential that if they get it clicking, it could be good.
Yeah, and the Falcons game too, I think Davis actually was not bad.
Yeah,
he was like a heat sinking missile a few times. I mean, he brings the thump, man. Mm-hmm. He hits hard, and a couple times he's rushing the quarterback, he bowled over the running. I mean, just destroyed him on the way to the quarterback, and he didn't get there, but I mean, he was really showing some hustle, and I just had to give him credit for that game. I thought he kind of stood out a little bit, especially in that second half.
An interesting thing, they had him in their signal calling too. They're training him to be the mic and actually be able to quarterback the defense, which I find interesting.
Yeah.
I think Anzalone's still like the guy. I mean, as far as Campbell's concerned, like center of this thing, the kind of anchoring it. But I think the hope for our defense could really jump up is if Derek Barnes took a step up. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't show right now in practice, but you never know when the season starts, when it gets live. That'd be awesome if he could step up and take next level.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't been totally non-existent, though, Bob. I've seen some things with him blasting into the backfield and blowing things up. He's doing stuff at camp, and he's being noticed. Like it's not like he's blown up like Hutch or something, but he's made, seems like he's made steady progress at the very least, which you're right, we need.
Yeah, I do want to mention too, I don't know if anybody heard that Big V was hurt the other day in practice, but he's okay. It was just like a cramp or something. Yeah. Just took him out precautionary. So
That's good.
Just let him sit in the house until the first week. I just want to see all of out there at once.
Though honestly, he's the one piece in that like I feel like we could replace somewhat reliably. I don't know. Maybe I'm underestimating him.
He's got size though.
He's massive, man.
I think he does something unique.
There's a lot to be desired, but definitely a guard, I think, is where perfect fit. Especially the Polynesian, right? Both of them.
Yeah,
on the Polynesian right side of the offensive line.
Right,
I want to see him both. Gets
news how much bigger he is than Sewell too. Like Sewell's such a monstrous man, and this dude just kind of almost dwarfs him.
Oh yeah,
the name is appropriate.
Man. So, right now we think Tim Boyle over David Blau though, if you had to pick one.
Yeah,
I'd say the opposite.
That's what I mean. That with you,
you would say David Blau.
Yeah, so, yeah. Tim Boyle had those interceptions.
I had to pick one. He just seemed to have better pocket presence,
did he?
Yeah,
a little more accuracy. A little more accuracy, I think. I know the fumble was kind of a horrible thing, cost game changer, cost you a game even.
Yeah, but then you got to see him full Tommy. But God, I'm stupid. God,
you know, here's my hard truth about this situation. Neither of these guys give me much confidence whatsoever that they're going to reliably win games. I feel like you see David Blau's limitations consistently crop up, especially when you need it. You know, like suddenly the defense tightens up and he has to chuck it downfield or something, and he can't throw an accurate pass into the end zone at like 45 yards. Like, I mean,
I don't know. If this running game takes off, though, he could be serviceable.
Game manager. I mean, but again, like I said, sure, you're right. You're not. He's not terrible, but I just it doesn't imbue me with confidence. Neither of these guys do. You know.
So Z, obviously, you feel different. What are you? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, you know, it's the third stringer. So, and also, I think David Blau will come up. Kind of moves around. I don't think he has a great pocket presence. Actually, I think he kind of moves around too much for his own good. I do like what he did with Tom Kennedy a lot, but I guess Tim Boyle, if I had to pick between the two.
I'm like kind of like you, Z. I'm kind of like, you know, hesitant to pick one, and then you have to pick
I don't understand the Mason Rudolph. Like,
I don't. I hope they don't do that.
Like, I just don't know what is he. He's not good either. He's not much better than either.
It's just more rumor shit. These things come up every day. Sure. A new rumor.
I mean, that one came up out of nowhere from Jimmy like respected sources.
We were supposed to get Jimmy Garoppolo.
I will say this though, between the two, like, who's more likely to actually achieve something if they were to start clicking? Boyle obviously has a superior upside. Like, that's just no doubt. So I mean, if you look at it that way, that's a compelling argument. I mean, When all you want is a chance, you know, upside is probably worth more than like some really, really
maybe true.
Whatever floor.
But Blau might have the grit.
Right. Grit. I mean, I don't know.
Grit.
So then at this point, what would you say right now? Trinity Benson or Cephas making the roster? Because Cephas has been around.
Hands down, Cephas.
As long as Cephas comes back healthy, as long as Cephas recovers from this injury, he'll be fine.
I think they're actually both going to make it.
I hope so.
I think they're both, because I think they're going to keep an extra receiver and keep two quarterbacks.
So do seven receivers and two quarterbacks. I would like that better. I'd feel better about that. I feel like most of those guys are more likely to impact our front end of the roster and our actual ability to win games on game day than Blau or Boyle ever would.
And I think all those receivers could be potential weapons. I mean, you could use Kennedy in certain situations. You could use Benson, stretch the field, you know.
Yeah.
Especially right. Until Jameson unique Williams qualities. Play. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could all be valuable.
And the good thing is there's a lot of crossover special teams, so you're not necessarily hurting your roster too much by overloading there. All those guys contribute as either gunners or just, you know, cover men.
Yeah. And because Blau and Boyle are kind of mediocre, I think if they lost one of those guys, they could find someone equal to that on the, you know, if they needed to, if there was an injury situation.
Yeah, that's probably the best argument against like any trade for like a Mason Rudolph or whatever name is being thrown out there, is that I don't think they want to throw off the chemistry in that room. I think that's the main reason those two guys are even still around this year. I don't think they thought these guys are great. Maybe they thought they could get a little more out of them and they'd suffice, but I think they liked the room they had in the support Goff.
And that's also going to be a big determining factor in who they finally pick.
Right.
Because they both have some talent physically, but it's who can handle the quarterback room and like all the technical stuff they do with film, and there's some expertise.
I think Blau is superior in that by accounts. Like, he's like, and usually those smaller, weaker arm quarterbacks have to be better at reading. I mean, that's just the way. Yeah, that's like your Colt McCoys, you know, all those like pocket.
Maybe we should go out there and pay $13 million for Chase Daniel again.
Oh, yeah. That guy outfoxed the whole league.
Unbelievable. I think he's made over $40 million.
Yeah, he parlayed that Missouri.
And he has a horrible record as a starter. So it's like.
Yeah. Oh, one other quick in backup news. That Josh Johnson guy is still around. He's with Denver.
Oh, really?
This year.
Playing a play for
he's been with like 17 teams or something. I don't know, something
the
ridiculous.
Kenny Lawson of the NFL.
Denver picked him up right away.
Yeah,
does that include his XFL and AFL teams too, Bob? he's playing those ways
as
well.
Yeah, because he did play in those. Yeah, but then he's back in the NFL the last few years. So I don't know.
Wow, that's insane.
Did we just let a Josh Johnson go?
We let Josh Johnson go, right?
Apparently,
him and Brady Breed.
Apparently, he updates his LinkedIn with each team that he's on. That's got to be a resume, according to our producer, KJ. Top-notch research, as always.
Yeah. Anything else from the episode? Did you guys...
Aaron Glenn's speech to the team was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's more.
Here's a couple things that stood out to me a little bit. Okay. like we look at these guys, you know, these football players, these I don't know, these great athletes. But when you're watching these episodes, they're just like scared students in a classroom. I mean, like most of them don't talk. They're sitting there, they're struggling to survive and get through this thing without, you know, and hopefully make a team, you know. They're kids, man. These guys are 21, 22, 23 years old. They're just kids. And, you know, if you look at them with their eyes, most of them aren't talking. They're just sitting there. Like that. It's just, I don't know. I just thought that stood out to me a little bit. And then the other thing that cracked me up was the kid at the end of the show?
The ball boy?
The
water boy?
Trash talking all the offensive linemen.
That was Hank Fraley's
son, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was water.
Hey, get up. You're the only one kneeling down. Get up. Come on. And he's trying to trash talk Ragnar. He goes, man, you're bad at this trash talk.
Yeah. He's like, your trash talk sucks. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was fun.
I thought that was funny. That was a pretty good way to end the show, I thought.
That was.
Yeah.
I thought what was great was just all the behind the scenes in the coaching rooms, in the players' rooms. Like, oh my God, that access was amazing. Seeing how, you know, Deuce Staley talks about DeAndre Swift, seeing how they talk about Malcolm Rodriguez in the coaching room, like, you know, this kid's legit. They're not just blowing bubbles and, you know, whatnot. Like, this kid, they're talking about him for real in their assessments, and you're getting access to that. Like, that behind-the-scenes access, see how they actually coach, how they actually teach, is like, oh, my, that's the meat right there, man. That's what this is. To me, that's what so much this is about.
I know
it's awesome.
Yeah,
I know we talked about it already, but how do you think the rest of that linebacker room feels with that out, like for millions of people?
Fired up, man.
Not just
they should be fired up.
I've had a bad day of practice where I was struggling in one-on-one drills, and my coach starts threatening me with, you know, maybe not playing, and that just fires you up, man. Like, if you let it do anything else, you're wasting it. You're not in the right arena, because that kind of shit shouldn't do anything but just get you more laser focused on what you need to do.
But it's next level with this, because they get dressed down at work, and then it's on the internet for the world to see.
True.
They're like, getting dressed down.
Blau's, he was like the saddest puppy on earth.
he was pissing on the board.
But, you know, the other thing about Kelvin Shepherd, his speech, I love, is the thing is, you got to remember with him, is he's been there, done that. This, like, this isn't some guy calling him out. This is a seasoned vet who knows what the hell he's talking about. So, like, I think that's the whole great thing about this entire team. Like, you remember that about these guys when they're telling you stuff, that, like, you see the utter reverence and respect these players have when these coaches talk. They don't. These players sit.
What about
shut up and listen?
What about what Z brought up off air about our offensive coordinator, who is not a
isn't it bizarre? Two episodes.
He's mysteriously, Ben Johnson is nowhere to be seen.
Deuce Staley's all over. You would think he's the offense. People are reaching out to me after the first episode saying, like, I didn't know Deuce Staley was your offensive coordinator. Like, no, he's the running back coach. They present him as like the second guy in command, though, on the team, pretty much. I mean, he's the associate head coach, technically.
It's just because he draws the attention. I'm telling you.
He definitely
draws
the attention.
Drama.
There's three more episodes to go. I mean, because everyone's panicking.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just really bizarre that they don't show the, you know, this one of the top three coaches on the staff.
The line coach they've shown.
Well, who else have they not really highlighted yet?
Well, look at the things they
focus on. Hank Fraley's son has gotten more time on the episode.
True.
He's probably more entertaining.
And the fish, you know, they had to have a scuba diver underneath the water when Ragnar was fishing. You see that fish was actually under the water?
What?
Whoa. Wait.
UJ getting a little passionate, knocking over his mic.
Yeah.
Now we can't hear you, UJ. Now you're muted.
Yeah.
Have we seen the receiver room, really, outside of St. Brown?
No.
They haven't showed Jamison Williams.
Yeah, they haven't shown so much. I mean, I feel like there's just so much to cover that. It's being drip fed, and I'm loving it. And is this way?
I just think Ben Johnson's boring, and that's what
my bet is.
And Jared Goff's boring too, right? You guys said so. Maybe those two are just off, like, I don't know, nerding out somewhere.
See, but you know what's really gonna annoy me, though? They're gonna miss the most compelling story arc when he, or at least one of them so far, when he, you know, pushes his way onto the field or whatever. That might come up later. Who knows? He hasn't been highlighted yet, so maybe that'll come up in his
Ben Johnson and Goff have like a show on BBC or something where they just discuss things in a calm voice.
Ben, there's a show. It's Ryan Gosling or Jared Goff, and it's just side by side pictures, and you just gotta guess which one it is.
Yeah. Right. The Lions are in joint practices this week with the Colts. They went as we record this. They just finished their first day of practice. Seemed to go pretty good. Yeah. I didn't hear.
That's Dave Briquette said pump the brakes on 22 after watching these practices because they got outclassed on both sides of the ball, according to Briquette. But I haven't.
Wait, say that again, Bob. So he's saying
they did 22. Like, you mean
they? Yeah. Oh. The they had our offense against their defense, yep. And their defense against our offense, like separate fields. And but I guess they dominated us with their defense, and our offense struggled.
Interesting.
But that's, you know, one practice. I'm not worried about it, but right. It's just that's what Burkett noted about today.
So. Yeah,
that's why these are so good to have.
I mean,
and they're a good
team.
The
Pat McAfee show is recording live and watching the practices. So if you want to go like over there and see. Kind of like a live reaction. Cool. No, he'll probably have a bias for the Colts because he's you know played for the Colts for a long time, but still an interesting perspective.
He's been sending a lot of love to Dan Campbell and the Lions.
Yes,
though,
he has. Yes. Also, I want to note that if you wanted more insight, like TJ Hockenson, I wouldn't call him like the most outspoken guy in a team, but he did a long interview. It's like 40 minutes or something with on Bussin' with the Boys. It's like a Barstool podcast.
Yeah,
with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. They got into Matt Patricia a lot on that. I found that interesting. They were not Patricia fans.
Hey, did we touch on that though? Tracy Walker said when he had to do his rookie thing, they did a skit on the coaches making fun of Patricia and them, and Patricia hated it, and he made him come back and redo the play the next day, and then he didn't like it because they weren't. Being serious enough for him.
Oh my God.
What?
Like, because Patricia was offended that they were making fun of the coaches, right? In their little skit. This is a rookie skit, you know, they had to do like in front of the. And Patricia was offended by it, so made him come and redo it. It wasn't offensive to him and the coaches.
What?
And they, no, this is serious. Tracy Walker said this.
The words I want to describe Matt Patricia right now, I can't say, but, you know, he's what a weak. Bitch of a man. Like
it only seems to get worse over the years. Yeah. Stuff leaks
out about
it.
Think about the context, though.
For the Patriots now.
Think about the context. Yeah. He did like some bullshit call out of Darius Slay, our best player, and then can't handle a little bit of freaking comedy criticizing him. Oh my God.
Yeah.
How did he get the damn job? What was wrong with Bob Quinn is what I want to know.
Hey,
he liked this guy.
I think we drank the Kool-Aid when he was hired, though.
Yeah, but we didn't know. We didn't
we
have the insight
the
that Bob Quinn had. Like, Bob Quinn knew this guy. He should have, like, this stuff should have been, like, known character stuff.
Well,
yeah.
The Patriots still love him because he's gone over there and he's, like, pretty much the assistant head coach over there.
That's because it's Belichick's son.
Yeah, he just fits in that environment, probably.
That's his son.
Yeah. It, really interesting he's running the offense over there. Maybe he just did such a bad job on defense or trying him on the other side of the ball now. If I was a Patriots fan, I'd be a little concerned.
All right, we'll always
but he is a rocket scientist, or former rocket scientist. So.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a genius. All right, so I think we'll wrap up the episode. Lots to talk about, lots to react to this week. The Lions have more joint practices with the Colts, so keep up on that. Otherwise, they have their second preseason game. They only play three preseason. I keep forgetting. They only play three preseason games.
Thank God.
It's this Saturday, 1 Eastern, noon Central at Indianapolis. It'll be on the NFL Network, too. So if you have that, tune in. If you're in Detroit, it'll be on local TV.
Just prepare to have alternate means to watch the last 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, on the NFL Network with the Lions-Falcons, they cut out at the end of the game. Like...
They do that every year.
The Falcons have the ball. It's what's going to happen? Oh, let's go to the start of this other game.
You're the NFL Network. You're the NFL. Why don't you schedule these games if you're going to air them in a way that they don't overlap?
Yeah.
That would be too smart.
They ever heard of split screen? You know, many things they could have done, except just stop arrogant.
And all those poor, you know, bubble people on the roster not getting to perform their one time for their fans nationally.
It's all about the fans, but the fans don't matter.
Yeah. But it looked like the Lions had pretty good attendance for that preseason game. It's their only home one, but still encouraging. And the biggest roar was Hutchinson's tackle for loss. So they got the crowd jacked up.
Nice. And September 11th is our home opener.
Yep.
That's when it all begins for real.
Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Revenge game after the ass-kicking they gave us last year. So,
yeah.
We'll see. We'll know right away if the Lions are ready. We'll see how much they improved. Anyways, we'll get into that later. But right now, let's wrap up the episode. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on Hard Knocks, the first preseason game, everything like that. Really appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast and Minute Maid Media. Otherwise, we'll be back early next week reacting to Hard Knocks, reacting to the second preseason game. And there's just a lot more to look forward to as the season is less than a month away. We're that close. So, nice. And college football's even closer then. That's what that means too. So, football's here. It's back. It's back.
Man.
You'll hear that phrase like 12 times.
Indeed.
But it's back. So, thank you everybody for listening. And last but not least, as always, go.
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.